first, if you could help me just kind of recap all the events leading up to this point in time. In a little bit here, we'll talk a little bit more about the beef industry packing capacity, but there's certainly been a lot of talk in that realm as of late, especially with COVID-19, correct?
Correct. And even before that, the Tyson Holcomb fire in August of 2019 really brought packing capacity to the forefront. And then, of course, the supply chain disruptions, plant slowdowns, plant shutdowns in relation to COVID that we saw in April and May just really amplified that discussion.
A new report out from Rabo, quite simply, can the U.S. beef industry expand packing capacity?
Right, and that's something that, you know, we've really been interested in as a beef industry. And if you look at the economic incentives and look at the profitability in the packing sector over the last 4 or 5 years, it really does indicate that there is an economic incentive to expand packing capacity. And our view is that it can come from one of two places, and potentially both in some scenarios, but either technology advancement within existing plants or even new build plants.
Well, and that really has been a hot topic, if you will, especially with the backlog of cattle that we did experience with some of these plants shutdowns, you know, early summer, late spring. You know, what would this mean for the cow-calf producer or the cattle feeder as far as cow herd numbers if such expansion were to happen?
Right. So if we could expand U.S. packing capacity, and this analysis suggests that we could expand by about 5,000 to 6,000 head of daily fed cattle capacity and better distribute profitability across the cattle and beef supply chain and still maintain profitability at the packing sector. But by expanding that packing capacity and adding profitability to the beef sector, it would prevent a major liquidation of the cow herd in our current cattle cycle. You know, we've started a bit of a downturn in terms of beef cow numbers. We're in that contractionary phase of the cattle cycle. But if we can expand capacity, we can prevent that from being too deep of a cut in cow numbers and really position ourselves in the future to capitalize on growing global protein demands and export opportunities.
And so you mentioned this earlier, Dustin, but can we discuss more the likely sources for expansion? I know you talked about existing plants, but as well as new plants, what are some of the economic, financial, and geography considerations if there were to be new plants?
Right. The first thing that comes to mind is building a new packing plant is expensive. Our estimate is that it takes about $100 million to $120 million per 1,000 head of daily capacity. So it's certainly not cheap. And that doesn't count operating costs. That's simply new build construction costs. So it's critical that, you know, a new investment not only has those upfront costs covered, but needs to be able to operate for, you know, likely a full cattle cycle before, you know, really being subject to cash flow from the operation itself. Other factors from a geographic standpoint, you know, obviously proximity to feed yards and then fed cattle supplies is important, and being in proximity to those feed yards really adds to the efficiency of plants. So there are, you know, there's reasons both from a feed and water availability standpoint, climate, socioeconomic factors, a multitude of factors as to why feed yards and packing plants are located where they are.
Well, you know, Dustin, I think it's always good to leave our listeners with kind of, if you could sum up all this information that we threw at them, how would you do so?
Right. The main point of the report is that there's economic incentive to expand U.S. fed cattle capacity by 5 to 6,000 head on a daily basis. And if the industry does that, it would more evenly distribute profitability across the beef and cattle supply chain and have the U.S. industry well positioned on the growing global protein demands.